For a while, we've been talking about wanting to get into just the experience of learning new softwares. Of course, that springboarded us into looking at rigs and getting all up close and personal with them. But more specifically is because Scribble Quibble Season 3 may or may not have aired by the time this video comes out, but I guess just your personal frustrations with why it's taking so long is having to learn a whole new software in the process. Everything's taking longer than you anticipate it to.
Yes! Oh my gosh, everything's longer than anticipated. First of all, the whole format of the show is different. And second of all, I mean, I've used Toonboom enough to know how to use it, but I'm still learning. It's a very complex program, as we talked about on the other episode. There's, especially once you get into the nodes, you can program it to do things. And so you spend a lot of time designing your rig and thinking about what you need it to do. So like mine has a very specific purpose, which is that straight ahead animation, but to still be smooth and be animated and kind of move a little bit away from that stop motion type stuff that it originated from. But that means a lot of development work, and I had to rebuild that rig probably 3 times. Like, I drew all the pieces and that was fine. But what happens is you go in to do some animation tests and then they don't work right when you try to put them on other parts of the rig, and you have to go through and make new layers and repeg everything.
Yeah. There's a lot of growing pains, and I've been experiencing the same thing as a Toonboom user trying out DaVinci. So DaVinci it's an editing software first and foremost, but it also is a compositor. I like to describe it as Premiere and After Effects mashed together. And I'm a bit fed up with Adobe, so I'm giving this one a go. And it's also node-based, which gets me very excited because I feel like I should expect to go in and know what's happening. For the editing side of things, yes, it had like no learning curve and I was able to just sort of assemble together timelines and that was all well and good. But when it came to any sort of effects work, any sorts of compositing, it was madness. So for, like with starting new projects, like the one that you were just talking about, when this show was starting and I made a little teaser for my channel that's like 60 seconds long, that took many days to put together, where I had seriously budgeted probably a couple of hours. I was like, oh, yeah, this take 2.5 hours, this won't be long, you know, I'm just going to record a bit of footage with the puppet, put some effects on it maybe, you know, I just got to green screen it, that should be all right. And then that went through a process of, okay, well, this green screen didn't work, it just looks so completely broken, I know, I'll just put in more effects to make it look more, you know, rustic and homegrown and VHS-y.
Oh!
To make it look like that was on purpose. And that was an interesting process because I learned a lot about using DaVinci trying to put it together. But every single step just took forever. Because so much went wrong. Nothing worked the way you would expect it to. I'd plug a node into a thing, be like, okay, it should work like this, right? And then some completely weird and wacky result comes out the other end. So you've got two problems. One, figuring out, okay, why did it do that? Why didn't it do what I wanted it to do? And how do I make it do what I wanted it to do?
And I watched some of the things you did, like even just you had a circle experiment where you were trying to make an inner glow, and you had, by the end of it, I don't even know if you really realized, but when you look at the tree of nodes, it's just, to make an inner glow, there's like 10 different nodes, and all you want is this simple thing, but it's masks on top of masks to make it happen.
I feel a lot more comfortable with it now. It's one of those things that once it's finished, a part of you is like, oh, I kind of want to do it again, just see how fast I could do it. But then also knowing what has just transpired, no, I don't want to torture myself like that again.
Well, you probably wouldn't, because now you know how it works. Like, you probably understand how the green screen control works or doesn't work. It took me a while to figure out green screening, because I don't know, you go into editing, if you've never edited an animation or a video before, thinking that the green screen is this magical thing. Like, as long as it's green, you can just get rid of it. But it doesn't really work that way, because it's calculating a certain color and you have to try to get it to be within this range. Otherwise you get a fuzzy outline, or it doesn't clip enough, or your green screen isn't bright enough. Or you also don't realize that it doesn't have to be a green screen. It could be blue or any solid color that hopefully isn't on your character at all, because if it is, that part's going to get invisible too.
Well, that's what I did. I used blue because I had like blue pillowcases. So I was like, okay, that's something I can just use impromptu. And my character's orange. So it's complementary. So that should be as opposite it can get. But sometimes just like light is blue.
Yeah.
So anything that's sort of white has a bit of a bluey tint to it, which is why its eyes turned invisible. And there was no way around it.
Now that you're talking about doing this in DaVinci, I'm remembering one of the first times I used motion tracking in After Effects. And I know the specific video, too. It's this video of a guy is picking up a painting. And so I tried to motion track a painting on top of that. But there was no good points to grab to keep track of, and I had to manually go through and keyframe everything anyway, and it still looked terrible and shaky and didn't like it. It just looked really bad. Mm.
So that was one thing. But that was just one node. The main thing that was really getting me was just the mindset required to assemble one of these flowcharts together. Because it was just fundamentally different to the system that I was used to. And it really, really did feel like, you know, being a Flash user migrating to Toon Boom again, where everything looks familiar. It looks like it should work a particular way, and then it just doesn't. Probably the easiest metaphor would be driving a car that has the wiper and the indicator on the wrong side. It's really tricky to get used to, but it started to make more sense now. Like the editing these together, like the end card thing, like I've been able to just like layer stuff and put effects on top of each other and mask things away a lot more efficiently now. Sort of just figuring out the flow of moving left to right and plugging in merges and backgrounds. Probably the real big difference is Toon Boom composites. You can combine as many layers together as you want with them. But DaVinci ones, they only allow two inputs. So if you want to combine a whole bunch of layers together, it sort of just becomes this tree of merges, you know, 8 to 4 to 2 to 1. It's like a family tree, all crushing it down together. It's weird.
I wonder why it's like that. It seems a little bit inefficient. I wonder if it's a limitation of the free version, how many you can put in.
Maybe.
Or if there's maybe something you're not seeing.
There may be another node type that I just simply haven't found yet. But now that I've sort of started putting them all together in like a linear fashion, like there's one string that sort of just works its way from left to right across the very bottom, and each new effect goes vertically into it, which sort of means that this one string at the bottom has, like, it is just a chain of merges, one after another, that connects each effect in as it goes. And just looking at it like that makes more sense now. So I don't really mind as much.
I'm not used to node systems at all, so it's the thought of having, you know, being limited to how many layers are going through at once or whatever, you know, just stack them on top of each other. Boom, there you go.
It does click with nodes, because they look complicated and a bit scary at first, because it's just this crazy mess of cables. It's two-dimensional layers. Rather than a list, they're all spread out on a table. It's wonderful.
So that makes sense. It's just all of the Sony Vegas, Final Cut Pro, Premiere, Windows Movie Maker, all of that stuff uses the old method. And I feel like nodes are more of a newer way to say, oh, they don't need to be in any particular order on screen. Just, you know, link them up however you want them to go.
Yeah, it blows my mind that Photoshop isn't node-based.
That would be weird. Hold on. I'm trying to imagine this.
It'd be amazing. And it would work. Okay, so, relevant example. Working with background artists, he had to make a, you know, nighttime version of a scene. And that was done by just, you know, plugging tons of filters in and, you know, making all the adjustments and doing all the things, and then it would be good. However, to do that to every single background in the thing, you'd have to go through that series of steps for each PSD. It's a really lengthy process. Wouldn't it be nice if all of those adjustments could just be, you know, like you could probably turn it into an action or something, but it's still linear and it still sort of bakes things in, especially if it's, say, like a hue adjustment. Wait, does that make a little thing on top and you can turn it on or off, or does it make it permanent? I can't remember. But some things were definitely more permanent than others, and you have to repeat it each time.
Right. You just mentioned an adjustment layer, which is actually relatively new to me. But yeah, you can drop an adjustment layer in, but still, and that way it's not baked in, you can turn it on or off, but it's still linear.
And still a case-by-case basis, too. So we sat down together, and we went through the same equivalent steps in Toon Boom. So, you know, we tried to find all the same blending methods, all the same adjustment layers, and did it through a node structure, and then packed it all together into one group at the end. And all we had to do was then plug any background into that system, and all of the adjustments were made, and it was now automatic. You could apply it to any background, and it would just work.
Yeah, the only way to do that in Photoshop, I guess, would be to make a bunch of adjustment layers that aren't baked in, because a lot of Photoshop stuff is baked in, and then you'd have to copy all that stuff and paste it over. But it wouldn't work as well, because, for example, you put stuff on top of a layer, you can add effects to a layer, but then you'd have to copy the layer properties and paste it. It would just take forever. Yeah.
It would be nice to pack it into a thing and store it in a library. Maybe Actions would do that. I don't know. But either way, I want to be able to have my strings. Maybe there's node editor photo editors out there. There'd have to be.
I'm curious now of node editing art stuff. I've never seen one. All of the programs I've seen and that anybody here has worked with is not node editing. If you have worked with a node-based art program, we'd be curious to hear about it, because I haven't seen anything. It's all layers. It's all drag the layers around.
Yeah, I'm really cheap now and pretty much only use like free and open source softwares. So I've bailed on Photoshop in favor of Krita.
Krita has animation functionality too.
Yeah. Does it tween though, or is it just frame by frame?
No, I'm pretty sure it's just frame by frame. I need to do a tutorial on it. It's not going to happen because I still have yet to do any opening or tutorials or anything at all on Moho Animation Studio. So that's kind of at the top of my list.
Oh, yeah. I really want to get into that one. That one's great.
Well, again, we're talking about using new softwares. I've been putting it off for probably 6 months now.
Yeah.
Because, again, everything looks the same, but it doesn't work the same. You open this document up and it's just riddled with, it's like a weird combination of nodes and layers. I have no idea. It seems really cool.
Moho is a whole, that's a whole nother world again. From what I've seen, it seems like every stroke you create, like each vector point has memory. Like you animate by having a shape and then bending and warping it into a new position. So it does shape tweens well. I think that's its core premise. It does shape tweens well.
Yeah.
And its whole core mechanic is doing shape tweens well, where everyone else is really bad at doing shape tweens. Don't use shape tweens.
That's true. Shape tweens are deformers are kind of where the shape tween has gone in other programs. So both Flash and Toon Boom have deformers. Mm. But Moho is every time you open it up, it loads an example file that you can play with, and they're just insane, the stuff that's in them. Like, man, you wouldn't even have to make a rig, you just draw an image and it'll go.
Yeah.
It'll do all the things you want it to.
It seems like it would be very very zippy for individual rigs. So like a freelancer who needs to make a quick animated rig for a thing, then like that would probably be one of the fastest ways. I wonder how it would go down in like a studio environment, like making rigs that, you know, 20, 30 people are going to use. Who knows? But it's interesting to see that there are like very fundamentally different ways of doing things, because we've talked quite a bit already about, you know, the sort of rivalry between Flash and Toon Boom, how there's updates coming out that are sort of, you know, filling in each other's gaps and staying a step ahead and stuff. You know, even TV Paint has a bit of a dog in that race too.
Really? Have you used TV Paint before?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got it.
Okay. I see. I don't have it. It's quite expensive.
I don't have much experience with it. I'm not very good at it. I've tried doing tutorials and videos on it, but I feel really unjustified teaching about it because I'm just not that great with it. And I want to do more with it, and I do intend to do more with it, but it just takes more practice. And because it's not my daily driver, I don't really learn it passively. I have to sit down and study it actively.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and the thing about TV Paint's strength is traditional frame-by-frame animation. So that is definitely its strength. A lot of people use it, like Aaron Blaze, Toniko Pantoja, who I've mentioned before, Cartoon Saloon, they use the TV Paint just because it's possible to create stuff that really looks like it's been made by hand. I mean, you know, Toon Boom and Flash have ways to do that, but I don't think they can compete really with TV paint right now.
It's very popular in my town, especially amongst the universities here. It's what most people study with.
Really?
So you see a lot of short films and independent films coming out with it. And I think the reason why I struggle with it is, you know, because I get a lot more into the technical side of using softwares and, you know, building animations as opposed to drawing them. You know, we've just done all these videos on rigs and maths and things. But TV paint, there's no cheating. There's no getting around it. It is solely about how good you are as an artist. And that makes me very nervous.
Yeah, that's kind of funny because I guess we're a little bit similar in that is... because when I started doing animation, I would just draw everything by hand. But as you get more into the software, it becomes more and more technical to the point where it's more of a different side of the brain that you engage to figure out, okay, how do I build this?
Yeah, it really is. How do I automate this?
Yes. How do I automate this?
How do I animate this once so I can use it again and again and again?
Yeah, it's a very different game. But, you know, I really love the traditional stuff too, but it's funny because... profit-wise, it makes a lot more sense to do it with a rig. It just, you can't compete with a rig. You don't have to draw it over and over.
Especially for the kind of stuff that we do, where we're, you know, trying to just pump out stuff all the time. TV paint just often feels a bit too time-consuming. And when it comes to making videos on it, even though I really, really want to, I struggle to really get anywhere beyond just... there isn't really too much that you need to learn. It's here's a timeline... here is an infinity amount of brushes you can use. Now start drawing things.
And you get an onion skin. There you go. That's
you would teach it by teaching how to animate, how to be an artist, how to draw things, not what do these different buttons do. The more technical stuff does exist, so that's what I probably should be focusing my attention on, is that TV paint is capable of tweening. It does have a number of different effects like that. And... the vast majority of TV paint animators that I speak to either don't know they exist or are too nervous to touch them. So that, yeah, so maybe that's why I should definitely talk about it.
Huh.
But the brush stuff is really nice. And that gets me a bit more excited because I have always been from this digital background. So traditional methods do intimidate me, to be honest. Things like textures and brush types, and I look at Photoshop's brushes where it's just like an icon of a splodge, and I'm just like, how do I use that? How do I know which one to use? So I've been enjoying Krita a lot because it's a little bit more idiot proof. All of its customized brushes have like,
oh gosh, really? What are the brushes like?
Yeah, well, because all of its brushes just have like, here's a picture of a pen, here's a picture of a brush, here's a picture of a piece of chalk, and I'm like, okay, I know what to expect with that.
Okay, so it's like I can't remember the name of the program right now. Oh, Autodesk. So it's like Autodesk. That's funny, because for me, when all I see is the picture of the tool, I go, what does that do? What does that look like? I don't even know. I have to pick it and say, okay, well, that's a pen and that's a thing. Oh, paint tool size, the same way. But Photoshop, where you can actually see the little splodge, that's what I'm used to.
You find that more useful?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've always seen the splodges, but I've always been too nervous to sort of try them. Like, I'll pick one up and move it around a bit. I'm like...
what? Like what? Like, what's going to happen? You pick one up and try to draw with it, and someone bursts down the door. What are you doing with that brush? Get back to puppets.
Well, I draw a stroke with it and just think, okay, what do I do with this? Texture is a texture.
Oh, you got to draw a whole picture. You have to, that's the thing, is you have to do like a sketch or you have to do, use them. It's funny I'm talking about this because Photoshop brushes, there's so many of them. But once you try a couple of them, you realize what ones you're going to use the most. Like I have one that looks more textury.
Yeah, maybe it's that. It's probably just the choice anxiety. It's like the new Smash Brothers. There's too many. I don't know which one to use.
Choice anxiety. That's like going to the grocery store in the States and you need to buy paper towel and there's 30 different kinds and you're like, I don't know, I just need paper towel.
So I've been experimenting with more now and I'm having fun, but I feel really far behind. Most of the artists in our community, like that's their bread and butter, is all about color and texture and things. And I'm just like, yeah, nodes and rigs. It's...
I know, yeah, it's funny. I kind of feel like I want to talk about how much of a weenie I am now. I mean, compared to these other illustrators who have been trained classically sometimes, I don't know. I just know. I don't know how to explain how I know. I just like that color looks good with that color. And the more I've done it, the more I've been able to figure out what actually looks good or not. But there's no training behind that. It's just instinct. It's just stupid instinct.
Running. It's like independent animators just on YouTube. They're all amazing now. Like, really, really good. And
yeah, yeah.
All of them are doing, like, proper traditional stuff as well. Like, TV paint is quite popular amongst that scene now, I think. Or at least it's on the rise. And people are using the textures and crazy colors. And it's all frame-by-frame stuff. I'm like, how do you have 6 months to make a short film that's just a Pokemon parody? What's going on?
I don't know. That's a good question. Man, and I get so jealous of some people, too, who do, like, this amazing stuff. But to be fair, the amazing stuff is about 6 seconds long. And I'm always like, well, if I took a month just to animate 6 seconds, maybe it would look like that. I don't know. Can I actually draw like that? I don't know.
Oh, I feel like I got it at one point just to like, and probably never publish it just as like a, gotta prove it to myself.
No, come on. Maybe we should make a pact. Like, take a certain amount of time to make a 6 second long animation and see what we can get it to look like.
Oh, that would be nice. That's been on the bucket list for a while. Cause
maybe we could even make a pact with a bunch of other people. We all do this.
Oh, that's a good idea. Mm. I'm sure there'd be a few to get involved.
Somewhere mid-year, I'll have a Scribble Kibble episode where we get all the viewers together and all of the Animoot listeners together. And we say, okay, we're going to all try to make one very short animation and see how good we can get it to look. You can make whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Just
6 seconds in that regards is a lot. Should it be like...
It's a lot.
Should it be 2 seconds?
Well, should it be one picture? Should I draw 2 seconds? You think 2 seconds?
2 seconds. Well, how long's that? 48 frames. So
is that? I feel like that's almost not enough. What about three?
How many frames is that? Like, because considering if this is something where it's like make 3 seconds and make it as good as you possibly can, just put all of your spirit into it. You know, every frame is going to have a lot of detail.
Okay, so then like 3 seconds.
Well, how many frames is that off the top of your head?
It's 60 drawings. I mean, it's 260, okay. 72 drawings.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's a lot of drawings, isn't it?
That feels reasonable. It depends if you're doing singles. Even if I do it, like, put in a crazy amount of effort, I'll still probably have it in twos. Why am I committing to this? There are so many things that need to be made right now.
Oh, we have way too much to do. You know what I'll do, though? I will put it on... I'll put it on the Scribble Kibble list, because even if we can't... Dude, man, I've got so much to do. This is ridiculous. And the year's not even over. I'm here scrambling like a chicken to try to get everything done. It's still not done. Scribble Kibble's not done. Nothing's done.
Well, I don't know. We've said it now. June seems reasonable.
I don't know when this episode will be coming out. We got to make sure we give everyone enough time. Okay, so let's just put like a 3 second challenge. And I'll figure that out. Someday, 3 second, and we'll come up with a deadline, and we'll have more information about that later.
I think we'll sleep on it. We're excited right now, but you know.
Oh no! Wait, what if you made it, but it was a cutscene for your game? Like, but the best thing you could possibly make the end cutscene.
Maybe, but the thing is, after doing a project like this, that would be so much practice that I haven't had over so long that I'd be saying, well. The cutscene now, I want to make that with the skills that I learned from doing the 3 second challenge.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
So I think it needs to be unrelated because it'll probably be like absurdly detailed, like, you know, a fight scene with 8 characters or something. Absurd.
Oh, gosh. I'm thinking of just, I want to make something that looks good, honestly. It's been so long since I've made something that looks good.
Yeah, like some fisheye perspective in there as they dart past the camera.
Right. Maybe we should just scrap the whole thing and be like, well, I'm glad we had this talk.
Well, have we... We've talked about this at some... I don't know if we talked about this on stream or not, but about talking about an idea releases enough dopamine that now you just, like, you don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah, no, I feel good now.
It kills your motivation to act on an idea because...
I hope everyone else feels accomplished, too. Like, wow, we really thought about that really hard.
Here's your participation trophy for thinking about doing a thing.
But to be fair, there will be a challenge at some point. I'm just not prepared to organize that and say exactly what it is yet. And it'll be cool.
Wonderful. All right. Well, until next time, have a good one.